The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Shasta County and beyond. I am Kevin Cry, and this is my show. I'm broadcasting live from beautiful Redding, California, in the heart of District 1. I'm not sure if you're listening at 96.5 FM or 1460 AM or streaming online at kcnr1460.com, but I'm glad you're with me. And all my shows are archived at votekevincry.com, so there's a lot of options to listen. If you haven't done so, go register for my newsletter and updates at votekevincry.com, or you can follow me on Facebook at votekevincry as well, because there are a lot of announcements coming in the next couple weeks. As I was driving in this morning, it sprinkled a little bit while I was driving to the office at about 5:30, 6 o'clock, and it would be false hope to think it's not going to be hot this week. The temperature will be in the low hundreds all week, with the exception of Wednesday possibly being in the high 90s. You can always get your weather at Weather NorCal on Facebook or through the Play Store, or download it on your iPhone. And again, that's not a paid advertisement. That is just my good friend Mike Kruger, who ventured out entrepreneurially, did his own thing, and I love to support small business. So there's a lot to cover, and I do have a guest this morning who I will bring on shortly, but it is, as Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. So what happened yesterday with President Trump is very front and center to me. So much of what my short political tenure or experience has really been about we the people infiltrating the establishment. And the reason why I do coffees and still do home meetings and post videos and have a radio show like this is because I want to bring all of you along with me. More people need to get involved. We need to wake up, and we have a packed agenda for this week for the Board of Supervisors, enough really for a three-hour show this morning, but all that seems honestly really small with what is happening. My wife and I were boarding the tram at the Sacramento airport yesterday when a flood of texts and messages started to light up my phone about what happened with President Trump. When I first saw the video of what transpired and him raising to his feet, pumping his fist, and compelling all of us to fight with him, I was pretty moved. The nose started to burn, and my vision was glossy as emotion was welling up in the form of light tears. And I wasn't crying by any means, but it was heavy. A very deep-down, heart-wrenching feeling for my country. The emotions were similar to graduating boot camp, and in a weird way, emotionally, it was also similar to holding my grandson for the first time. In those instances, it was the moment, in that moment, feeling just how connected I was to something so much bigger than myself. Many times before I hit the gavel at our Board of Supervisors meeting, I take a moment and just thank Jesus for the county and all the work of the supervisors, the various city councils, and all the work that the employees do. I believe truly that most people want the best for our community. In that same breath, we as a community and a nation need to really pull together right now. But, you know, how do we do that with so much happening? How do we as individuals with positions of influence point out, and I hate to say it like this, but how do we point out the atrocities happening within our country or even our own community without stoking the proverbial political fire? And I think bringing truth to the forefront is all we can really do. As you listen to this, think about getting involved on a board or with a group that you identify with. And I'm not even saying the people that align with me politically, but, you know, if you get involved, make a difference peacefully. Do it peacefully. Do it respectfully. And I can hold myself to task at times for breaking down and not always being at my best, because I can improve and I can admit that. You know, because remember, it's not what you're capable of. It's what you're willing to do. Plenty of people are capable. Very few are willing. And so with that, one of the items we as a Board of Supervisors have been talking a lot about lately is tourism and the real big void and vacuum and what we're missing as a county in terms of revenue and tax dollars and opportunity that it has really been missed. And I think it's been missed in plain sight for quite some time. There have been some headlines lately about Avilo Air Service leaving or possibly leaving the area. And again, as we go back to the truth, I really sought, you know, who is the authority? Who is the person with the most knowledge about this airport that we have? Not just with what's going on currently, but who knows historically what's gone on there? And because I do, I really think our airport is a very underutilized resource. So I want to turn and talk with Jim Wadley, who is the former Reading Regional Airport manager. So welcome, Jim.
Good morning. Thank you for the invite. I'm very happy to be here.
Absolutely. So the low-cost carrier of Avilo has been operating out of Reading Regional Airport since May of 21. Since then, we have had some pretty awesome service, which even for about a year had service to Las Vegas. Well, as you know, Avilo announced that they are pulling out of Reading, and this has stirred some people up, especially since we've seen a lot of growth at Reading, at the Reading Airport, and people like the service. It's come up a lot. So I'm super glad you're here. So, Jim, you know, we're watching the airport the last few years, and let me tell you, people liked what you were doing. Things were moving. Some good changes were happening. The roads into the airport, the rebranding. There's a coffee shop that was actually put in there, which I think was great, again, spurring new and local business. There were new services. The parking lot was always full. So this news with Avilo must crush you like the rest of us.
Yeah, before I start, I just want to, you know, I'm thanking Almighty God for blessing me in so many ways and putting people in my path. And I only go where the good Lord takes me these days, and I'm here right now. I also just got a text from TSA. They got wind that I'm out here, and they said they're saying hi, so I'm shouting out to them right now.
Awesome.
We're lucky to have the folks there in TSA. They're great, so thank you for what they do. So unfortunately, yes, this kind of news with Avilo was unsettling. You know, I was contacted by a number of entities at the airport and businesses and even some local representatives, and you know, I'm doing my own thing, but this is big news. I mean, they're not wrong. When I was with the city of Reading, you know, staff and I worked really hard to get Avilo to operate out of Reading instead of some other market. It was definitely not an easy task to take on. You know, they were a startup. They were new. Not many people had confidence in them. I, coming from the Bay Area with seeing a lot of startups and success and rounds of funding. I mean, I knew that this is something that could be achievable. And there was the right moves, being taken place right, so that they could start. And you know, you mentioned a full parking lot. You know, I got some flashbacks about how crazy things it got. You know, having 737s coming in, you know, service to Burbank, service to Las Vegas, you know, we just had cars overflowing everywhere. So we had some really good problems.
Well, that's awesome. So for those of us that don't know what it takes, and I'd be one of them, how exactly did you build the air service? What did you do to land Avilo?
Well, so air service development has a variety of recipes. Right? So each airline has their own preference on how they want to operate out of your airport. For Avilo, it was simple, and I just kind of handled things old school. I didn't email them. I called them. I invited them out to the airport. I found every excuse to make a phone call to them. You know, at first it was once a week, then it was twice a week, and then it was daily and sometimes a number of times a day. And I remember a lot of people telling me not to go for it. You know,
who are a lot of people?
You know, sorry. So there are some that were related to the air service development team, that, you know, said that this was too risky.
Okay.
And, you know, and I could understand that, but you know, there's, when I'm kind of told no, it's just like, I find a way. That's the thing is I find a way. But in general, there are, you know, what happens is there's regular headquarter meetings, and you don't get headquarter meetings unless they're looking at you. So, you know, we would stay on those, even though sometimes it wouldn't materialize. It just means that they're looking at you. And there's also certain air service development conferences that we go to. And air service is just so secretive. So we really can't talk about all the details because airlines pay attention to the markets they want to enter. And you don't want to tip another airline that you're talking about starting a service in a particular area. So there's just a heads up to the listeners that I might be careful in some of that stuff I talk about. But there is a lot of dialogue involved and getting to know those key people and staying connected, sometimes offering new information, new data. And that's what I did my first couple of years. I doubled down on data and studies, and we did even more. The airport traditionally spent like $50,000 to $30,000 on that stuff, and I went $60,000 multiple years, and then even $80,000, $90,000, so, and even more. recommended paths, because we really needed to provide data to these airlines, and it was well worth it. So having key information and applying it to the airport, I'm sorry, the airline's operation, and basically convincing them why they want to fly out of Reading, it's how you do it. And you don't do it just as the airport. You do it as a team. You do it with community members, Economic Development Corporation, and ideally, you'd have greater, county involvement and even regional involvement. It would just, you have representatives, but you need to have multiple people involved.
Okay, so well, let me ask you. Let's get to it. Why do you think they're leaving? Is it too late? Can we get them to stay? What have you heard? What's going on?
Unfortunately, they really are punching out. After being contacted, I'd reached out to them because they know me, and they'd even made comments that if I was there, I would have found a way. And some others have said, if Jim was here, this never would have happened, because it's true.
Who said that?
Well, I can tell you some folks at TSA, and when I say these kinds of things, I think that it's important for our leadership in the area, if the county's involved, or definitely the city, they should go to the airport. They should be talking to staff, talking to the businesses, and seeing what's important to them. And I'm encouraging the businesses right now to attend those council meetings, because this is your airport. And, you need some representation, you need consideration. But basically, I'd reached out to Velo, and I went all the way to the CEO, and I really tried. I mean, I only had 4 days to do it. The news was already cut, and the decisions were made. That's how they move. And I do feel like this could have been avoided. So hear me out, though.
Okay.
I left the city, and I went into the private sector. I actually left on the grounds that I had a loss of faith. And I have been in the industry 20 years, and I feel like there are some important things that were needing to be addressed, and they were not listening to. So I went private sector. I started Wadley Management. It's the best thing I could have ever done, and I love helping people, and that's what I've been doing the last 7 months. But since I left the city, the city's been trying to hire for my replacement. I know the first two rounds that they tried hiring, they rejected all applicants. They're on their third hiring attempt, and that's just a fact. They should be close to offering a position right now. I don't know the full status, but I don't exactly know what's been happening since I've been gone. I left at the end of last year, but I can tell you really need to have an airports manager at your airport, staying on top of every issue, and things come up on a regular basis. Like, airports don't sleep, and many, they don't understand airports and what it takes, and airports are misunderstood. It's not like the rest of city business. You can't cookie cutter city business into airports. It's like having a volleyball coach teach football. Airports are heavily regulated, and there's a lot of liability involved. I'll briefly give a snapshot of what you're looking at. The airport is a landlord to hundreds of tenants, maybe even thousands, because aircraft are owned by multiple people. And so there's a lot of relationships, and that alone is very taxing. And you've probably heard, in council meetings, city attorney talking about all the leases that come out of the airport and the review that's needed. Well, who do you think writes those agreements? It's the airport. The city doesn't have a real property manager. So the airport is doing all the new leases, amendments, and license agreements, and so on. But moreover, staying in compliance with TSA regulations and FAA regulations as an airport operator is really hard. And there's also capital projects to plan and design and then construct, sometimes in phases. And yeah, you have two airports, not just one. Airport staff have to apply for grants. They fulfill all the grant reporting requirements. You have economic development efforts. You have environmental things. Every year you have to plan tabletop exercises or full-scale exercises. You have a budget to watch, businesses looking to develop. The airport has to develop all its own RFPs. You have to present all your loan to various groups in the community, which is important. You have to maintain very close relationships with agencies like CHP at Benton and Cal Fire and U.S. Forest Service at the Tanker Basin RDD. You have airport business relationships to maintain. Airlines are one of them. So airport managers are very busy. They don't end at the office. The hours don't end at the office. The phone calls, emails, they come in at all hours, and it's just a lot to keep up. So having somebody absent is, you're missing out on some things. So I do think that there's opportunities missed.
So bottom line, what do you think happened?
Well, I feel like knowing all that I know and knowing how busy downtown is, I feel like the airport just doesn't have the resources to keep pace with the constantly, we constantly begged for more resources, right? Because, we had some good problems happening. You've probably heard the city manager say in a council meeting that the airport is pretty autonomous. Well, it is, but it does need help. I know too well how small but mighty the staff is at the airport. I love them all to death. They're very loyal, and I did all I could to support them and help them grow. They're just one incredible team. But with all the accounts to keep up on and all the public inquiries and the TSA doing random security checks and things that happen that require action, it's hard to balance it all. And so, you know, I don't think it's downtown's fault per se. I personally feel like they're out of touch. I feel like it's not a priority for them.
And when you say downtown, you mean like the city council, the city manager?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And so there's just other city business. And so what I did at the airport was very fast paced. I've been told to slow down, but we had things that needed to be fixed, things that needed to be addressed. And so, you know, sorry, but people don't really leave their job. They leave a manager. And like I said, I felt like they were just busy on other city matters, and I had full responsibility and full accountability, yet I didn't have the proper level of involvement and decision making in some of that stuff. And I've been around the industry 20 years, and I know what I'm doing. I know my stuff. The agencies know I know my stuff. But the airport does need things quite often, and it can be taxing for, you know, asking, you know, managing up, and you just can't put stuff off, unfortunately. So you end up with opportunities missed, and that's why I felt like, you know, it was time to leave. But I'm here because I really believe that we need to hold, people accountable. And I think it's time that we get some information out there. I have been, you know, the leadership needs to be active. Let me just mention that. They need to be active, and it's just too demanding. I feel like it's just put aside, and staff there do an incredible job despite their odds, but they need support, and it's easier with the right amount of resources, and you can stay up on all the things that I mentioned with those resources. So I'd say if I had a magic wand, I would see to it that the airport gets a real property specialist to help with those administrative tasks that pull us away, and those things are important. They need to keep going to manage all the tenants and an airport project manager for all the projects. That position can be funded by grants, offset by grants, actually. And dialogue between the agencies is also very important. So when I left, we had 21 open grants. That's not a lot, but to a tiny staff, it is. The airport must pursue to the maximum extent possible any and all grants. It should be a council priority for the airport. And an airport cannot survive without seeking grants. And that is one thing I was good at. And
You're good at a lot of things.
Yeah. But my bread and butter is grants. And I offered to stay, and, you know, they didn't go for that. But if I had one message to tell council, it would be make the airport a priority. It must be a priority. Even though Avello decided to punch out, it, you know, even before they punched out, the airport needed marketing dollars. And I had pitched that on two public council meetings. I cannot underscore marketing enough. And that was when times were good. So yeah. Well, I think that I fully expect council to get, you know, a wake up call.
Well, we had, you know, as the county, we just approved, I think it was $100,000 to help secure air service to Denver. And now with all this stuff happening, and I said this quite a while ago, you know, when I first became elected, I had talked to you about like, what would it take to get Southwest here in the next 10 years? Is that even possible? And we had a lot of conversations, but now that, we're really pushing tourism and we're really looking at a lot more, I mean, where do you see the county in all of this?
Well, that is a great question. So, you know, I know that city can run the airport how they want, but I feel that, you know, for the best thing for the region is that there should be cohesion between the county and the city. And I don't know how long that's been, you know, the relationship's been like this between the county and the city, but I know when I was an airport land use commissioner, in my entire time with the city, I didn't have dialogue with the county other than that land use commission, and that was actually a separate thing. I wanted to get some dialogue going, and it's just not how things work, I guess, with the city. And I'll skip some details, but I completely feel like there should be cohesion. Much like the phrase, many hands make light work, so too should be the things like economic development, development on the airport or air service itself. In fact, to some degree, there should be dialogue with the surrounding cities and even counties. They all have an interest.
Yeah, well, when it comes to tourism, you're looking at, you know, all the surrounding counties and in the region. And, you know, City of Redding is kind of the hub of Northern California. So, you know, the city says they're hiring a new airports manager, and things are going to get better. So is that – how do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, perhaps. I mean, but don't watch what the city says. Watch what they do. And that's what I'm doing right now, is I'm going to watch what they do. I really think that they need to market the airport. I hope the county and others can help. Now, we can talk all day about how to do this, but, you know, imagine, for example, if all the chambers and all the cities in the North State took initiative to promote the airport, and this is in addition to marketing dollars with advertisements and things like that, even in cities that we service to. But, you know, imagine if everybody got together, we had dialogue with those chambers and said, hey, you know, please remind your constituents, your businesses to promote the airport, look at the airport, have business policies, you know, to promote flying local rather than going to some of these other airports. So just so folks know, you know, air service will be around so long as people use it. At best, we were only capturing 34% of the people that fly out of our region. We know this based on data provided by the Department of Transportation. And, you know, much still choose to use airports like Sacramento, SFO, Medford.
I mean, that's where I was yesterday. I mean, because in my time, the last, let's say, 15 years of being self-employed and traveling, you know, I could never... Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, but with Southwest, you know, Companion Pass, I just qualified my wife for the year of 2025 through December of 2025. So that's a huge advantage to me. But honestly, you never can count on the Redding Airport service from year to year. And I understand now more than ever why.
Mm-hmm.
You never had the resources and the things you needed. Like, you weren't even in charge of your own budget. You're basically a director of a department. But you're not even running it, and we don't have to even touch on that. Like,
yeah,
I
wasn't involved in those more internal budget meetings, and I really needed to be. I asked to be, and I was told I was going to be, but I never was. And I would only have input on the capital projects and the grants and advising those kinds of things. But again, when you're talking about accountability, when you're talking multi-million dollar budget, it's very important because my name is on that. So
yeah.
it was very important to me, and I did. I saw some stuff and internal stuff, and I questioned it. And to this day, and it's been over a year, I have not received it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, my hiring practice in private industry, and even at the council or even at the county level, it's, you know, you hire the right people, you have a concrete plan, you provide tools, you follow up regularly, and you get the blank out of the way. Like, and you let the people do their job. And anyway, okay. So,
yeah.
So let me get back to this. So they're hiring the new manager. Maybe mm-hmm. things get better, maybe they don't. But, you know, there are some people questioning that the city and the way they're managing the airport. You know, there's questions. So mm-hmm. where does that go? I mean, like, so where do people that have a strong opinion about how the airport is being managed? I mean, because this is a lot of industry. And to not have somebody, and you had put your notice in three times, there was no succession plan. There was no succession. I mean, and that's alarming. That's mm-hmm. alarming. Something as big as the airport, there wasn't a succession plan.
Yeah.
And you'd been talked off, quote unquote, the ledge a couple times. So the third time you finally stepped away.
Yeah, third time's a charm. I mean, I can tell you, you know, everything I'm saying today is my perspective, is how I feel based on what I've seen, what I know. And I can tell you that if they had a champion, right, you got to have a champion that's always fighting for the airport. If you had a champion, like I talked about, doing all those daily tasks, all those things that come up, and all the important economic development things and the relationship building, I can tell you that relationship building is something that I worked on extensively to build trust. But, you know, if the new airport manager there, he or she, had full support from management and council, they can get back at it again. But there's a lot to do every day, and the airport, the staff there just need support.
So let's do this. I know we're nearing a break.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come back, Supervisor Kellstrom has brought an issue for it, and I actually talked about this a year ago. Because I sit on the Airport Land Use Commission, and you know what was crazy is we were passing a budget that was done based off a study that was like 40 years ago. So how do you plan for the future when you're looking at 40-year-old data? So they actually had a second meeting, but you know, people are talking about an airport authority. So when we come back, I want to hear your thoughts on what an airport authority is, and is even that a possibility? So with that, this is Kevin Cry. This is my show, and we will be right back.
Bye. I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence. You can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
As a thank you for your outstanding service, Wind River Resort and Casino would like to honor you with our Military Monday promotion. Join us every Monday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to receive your dining discounts and free slot play. Active or retired military members can present their military ID at the River Club to be entered into this weekly promotion. For more details, download the Wind River app or visit WindRiver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Sellers. We'd just like to thank Redding Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Redding Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
All right, we are back. We are back broadcasting live here in downtown Redding, District 1, KCNR 1460. During the break, we did have a caller, and I'm glad the person called in. This is something that's in my notes, and I'm dancing around it just because I didn't want to put Jim on the spot too much, but he's willing to be put on the spot that much more. So the caller had talked about Avelo was pulling out of Redding, for the reason that they don't have a baggage handler. But there's a lot of, I believe, well, I know, mistruths about what's out there. So, Jim, tell us a little bit about the baggage handler pulling out of California and all the balls that were dropped and how Avelo truly left. Let's just go mm-hmm. for it. What?
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah, so there's confusion about, is it Avelo leaving or is it the ground handler? Because there's a contract service for the ground handling. All right, so Avelo has the counter. Avelo has a lot of the equipment contracts, and they paid the landing fees and everything. So the ground handler literally just had to attend the counter, check people in, load the bags, and push the aircraft back, right? So that ground handler is pulling out of California. Now, there's various reasons for that, but nevertheless, Avelo still could have stayed. They wanted to stay. They reached out to the city, and they simply didn't hear back. And that is what I heard from Avelo.
Yeah, and I know that you actually have emails.
I do. I do have emails, and, you know, but here's the thing.
And the public could FOIA. Yeah. The correspondence with the city of Redding.
CPRA, California Public Records Act request.
Yes.
Certainly.
So if there's media listening, maybe, you know, why don't you FOIA the city of Redding and all of that and get the documents? Because I think it's important. And, again, this is what I talked about at the top of the show was it's about just getting truth out there. And for all of you that are listening, do your own research as well, because you can't count on media to feed you truth half the time. You have to get to it yourself and see it with your own eyes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and that's why I like to say, you know, especially now, knowing what I know is, you know, don't watch what they say, watch what they do.
Absolutely.
You know, you know people by the fruit they bear. So, you know, I think it's important that we have accountability and we put the pressure where it needs to be, because there are some things that need to be improved upon. Now, I said in my first interview when I got here to the city of Redding, I explain how the airports were two incredible assets, and I've always believed that. And we have incredible airports. And so it is deserving of everybody talking about it. I'm actually very glad that the county has taken a lot of interest in it. And I know that the rest of the region does have interest in RDD too, because we are a port for them.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for the entire Board of Supervisors. What I can speak to is I have a huge interest in tax revenue and dollars generated and small business getting opportunities. And it's the airport is one piece of a bigger tourism pie, but that airport is, again, I drive to Sacramento at least once every couple of weeks.
If RDD vanished today, how much money do you think out of the local economy would vanish with it?
Oh, geez, I wouldn't even be able to guess. How much?
$220 million.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we're talking about big deals. I mean, yeah. And that's just the it doesn't even involve the fuel taxes that go to the state. I mean, that's
just the airport. I mean, just the coffee shop that went in there out at the airport, to spin that up, to invest the money, to do everything they needed to do, and now they're going to have a huge crushing blow with much fewer customers. Okay, so let's get back to the question I asked before we went into the break about the airport authority. What is an airport authority, and what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so I was always in favor of an airport commission, and that is different than an airport authority. It's more advisory, and you usually the airport used to actually have an airport commission. And all I know is that it was, at that time, and this is what I was told by city managers, that there was a lot of commissions back then, and council at that time felt like there was too many commissions. So a lot of them were decommissioned. So, I believe that there should not be a rogue airport manager, Jim doing whatever he wants to do. No, you need to fulfill, the initiatives and objectives of the representatives. I've said many times, this is not my airport. This is the community's airport. And I got funny looks, but that's what I believe. I'm very service oriented, and I just want to, do what is, there's initiatives that need to be accomplished. And that was absent for a time, and we ended up doing an airport strategic plan. But, I actually was approached by the city manager's office. There was a representative there, Janelle, that approached me about an airport authority. And I remember telling her, I was like, I don't think council would give up their authority. I don't feel like that would happen. I do feel like it's the ultimate scenario where an airport can serve its stakeholders, the ones that have a vested interest in it. There is no better scenario than an airport authority. And like I was mentioning about how busy downtown is, if you had its own standalone authority, you would be keeping pace at, for your own issues. The topic came up again during the initiation of the airport master plan when I started that. And I was in full support of it even then. And I still am today. But fast forward to today, knowing what I know, having a magic wand, I would make, an airport authority. You need dedicated attention. With your own authority, you can handle things much faster, like I said. And the airport, I can tell you, was self-sufficient. I proved that in my time with the city. And I did, like I said, question some internal service charges, and I was never provided those details. But that never would have happened with an airport authority. And I know some questions are being asked, this coming Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors meeting about an airport authority, and I'll cover more on that, so I don't want to get too many details, but, if we may, I want to focus on, RDD as a priority for our region. Let's improve upon the high leakage that we have to other airports, keep the dollars here, to give an example of economics, just in passenger facility charges alone, you're looking at, say a loss of like 20%, so roughly $90,000 a year just in the PFCs, and then maybe 20% of car concessions and 20% of, which is about, out of two, you're probably looking at another $40,000 there out of the airport enterprise fund gone. And then rental cars are going to take a dip, but basically all the airport concessions are going to be taking a big hit just with Avelo. The airport doesn't receive tax dollars. It doesn't. The general fund receives tax dollars. We'll give money to the airport enterprise fund. The airport has to pay it back with interest, but no tax dollars come in as revenue dedicated for the airport. And I know that that can change. I floated a tax share plan that was dead-ended, but, if you look at Dallas-Fort Worth, for example, they have a tax share plan, one-third county, one-third city, one-third airport. If you do that, your money problems with the airport are effectively solved just with that. Then your airport can handle all its own capital project issues, economic development, you name it, staffing. But, you know, we're talking about big dollars with Avelo pulling out, and I'm concerned that without proper marketing, without proper involvement, and more members of the team supporting the airport, you know, we could see a dip in other things, and I don't want to see that. I want to see us, taking things serious, and, you know, and if we're smart, you know, we would start addressing gaps. We would start addressing gaps in the staffing and also with the marketing.
Yeah, so let me ask you one final question, and you've been in this space for 20 years. What's another community that you know of that is similar to Reading? And do you have some examples? Because I know our CEO, Dave Rickert, from Kane County, has talked about their airport authority and the cargo, and I think it was Amazon or some others that actually have brought a ton of revenue to their county. Is there another county that has a regional airport that is similar to where Reading, you know, is now, and then where are they today with some changes they made? Do you have any examples?
Yeah, there's actually probably a lot, but the closest one to us would be Medford. They're the exact same metropolitan statistical area like we are. And if you look at their flights, they've got 18 flights a day. I mean, last I looked. So they have regular flights. They actually crossed 1 million passengers. And so we could be like that. And we're not. We are not doing, in my opinion, these are all my opinion, we're not doing enough, and we could be more.
Yeah. Well, believe me, I know you're, and you just confirmed it, because, and I had heard that you were probably going to come to the Board of Supervisors. I know Supervisor Kellstrom had reached out to you. So I am glad to hear that you're going to be coming and sharing some insights, and you're going to save that for Tuesday. Let me switch gears here. And, you know, and just so you know, we are going to maybe take a caller or two here towards the end, and that's 605-4567. So 530-605-4567. It'll be a very, very short mic, quick question, and then we're going to hop off. So I do have a lot to cover, but I have gotten a lot of messages about asking questions. And so instead of just reading my text messages, I'll just offer that up to a couple callers, 530-605-4567. So, Jim, you are a U.S. veteran.
I am.
And so thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And so switching total gears to yesterday, what are your thoughts on what you saw transpire yesterday? How does that, I mean, how did it, just open mic, like how do you feel?
Well, if I, you know, if I saw, I saw a response by Trump that, you know, he was protected by God himself. And you know, I do believe that. I do believe that if you have God behind you, then who can be against you? And, you know, even though things, you know, come against you, you're going to overcome it. And I can tell you, you know, from my perspective, and you know, I love this country. I spent 5 years active duty Marine Corps, and I gave up time to serve my country. I can tell you right now that there's a lot of people that are feeling this right now. And, you know, they're getting energized with, you know, stepping up, getting involved. And I feel the very same. And, I had mentioned, in fact, it's kind of funny, my first resignation with the city, I said that I was going to get politically active, and I want to help people. And yeah. I'm doing exactly that as effective today. You know, and so I hope that, you know, all we can do is watch and see what's going to happen, but, and support, locally. And I think, you know, there's a lot of things that touch, and I'm upset by that kind of news, but I do have full faith that, you know, the good will overcome.
Yeah.
Evil.
I mean, we know how the book ends.
We do.
Doesn't mean that there's not going to be a lot of heartbreak and tears and even bloodshed along the way. It's just, it's really, really hard even times to see it in our community. So, you know, and that's the thing is, I think so often people have just been silent, you know, like I look at myself.
Well, and I was silent too until today.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
people were wondering why I left, and it's important that people speak the truth. And when people speak the truth, kind of like Trump, you know, you get attacked. And I'm hearing some grumblings too, and I don't like what I see, but you know what? That's fueling more of my fight.
Well, absolutely. And I'm going to talk before we transition out of here. I'm going to talk a little bit about like some next steps for me. Mike, we have a caller. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You're on. Go ahead, sir.
Kevin, it's a pleasure to hear your voice again.
Hey, Mike Ricker.
I tell you what. Yep.
Hey, you're in. Where are you, in Arizona right now? Where are you?
I'm in New Mexico.
New Mexico, that's right. I'm sorry, New Mexico. All right. How you doing, sir?
Doing very well, thank you very much, despite the tragedies from yesterday.
Absolutely.
Kevin, I just wanted to touch on one quick point. I was speaking with a very dear friend of mine who happens to be left of center, and that I don't care. He's a very intelligent man. But the news was brought out to us when the attempt on Trump's life was taken. I saw something that was so disturbing that to this day, or to this moment, I'm still shaken with it. It appeared he was happy. And now this is a good man. This is a God-fearing man. And the people that show glee when other people are assaulted like this, it's very disturbing to me.
It is.
And I would encourage our friends, our Christian neighbors, despite our political stance, to pray for these people and to pray that the propaganda machine has not inculcated them so deeply that we can't reach them.
Amen.
It was very disturbing.
Yeah, no, and I couldn't agree, Mike, with you anymore. And that's what's, and I think that's why I was a little bit emotional at first, is because I was just shocked. You know, I was shocked. And honestly, it's, you know, sometimes, you know, I think that could be me, honestly. So,
yes,
you know, it's really, you know, and that's one thing I'll say. Like Schumer and some others came out really fast, you know, denouncing that, and I was actually really proud of that. That people rallied around that, because you know, there is no place, for that. But our media has done a great job of stirring up. You know, it's like if you take red ants and black ants and you put them in a jar and they just sit there, they're totally fine. But you shake that jar and they just fight to the bitter end. You know, and you know, Google that. Watch the YouTube video of that. And that's what our media has done. Media does that. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, if we can have very political ideologies that vary, but the world's not coming to an end. It'll be greatly changed for sure, one way or the other. But when people talk about anarchy and, you know, all this other stuff, it's like, come on, like, this is, we're a great nation, and people have to rely on the systems and processes we have in place. But more people have to wake up. Hey, Mike, thank you so much for calling, and thank you for listening. I appreciate that.
God bless you, Kev.
You too, sir. So, and that was Mike Ricker. I met him actually through the recall campaign, and this is how I know what we do as individual citizens matters. Again, you know, I went to just a school walkout, and then of course this all unfolds. Now I'm the chairman of the Board of Supervisors here in the county, and I'm talking to people all across the country who are just saying, like, you know, what has happened to our country? And I said, you know, I don't know how it got here. But I definitely know that I'm working hard for this county, and I'm not going to stop. And I'm not going to stop trying to get people to realize kind of what's going on. I mean, one of the things we saw, you know, this past week, the city of Reading did an appointment, you know, and you had Josh Johnson, who is now a city council member. I mean, he finished fifth in his election this past election. DeQuisto in a landslide was the top vote getter, and that's when Mayor Audette was seated, as well as Councilman Jack Munns. And then I think Alex Shea got fourth and Josh got fifth. And so DeQuisto, due to health reasons, steps aside, and he winds up leaving earlier because he wants to make sure it goes to an election and the appointment wouldn't be for 2 years, it would be for a shorter term. Well, then you look at Mark Mazzano, who is a beloved councilman with the city of Reading, and he, in the assembly race, wins in a landslide in that particular in our particular county. Mayor Audette gets second. I think Heather Hadwick got third. And so when people talk about, you know, because Josh mentioned, you know, about him running for the 2 year versus the four, and I called them and asked them very pointed questions about a couple issues. He says, well, I want to hear from the people. I want to hear from the people. Well, the people were really, really clear. They wanted that seat left open. They wanted that seat left open until November. They didn't want anybody to have it. But that's not what the council would have. The council put somebody in there. Now, originally, and I applaud Tanessa Audette, Mayor Audette, because she said she wanted whoever who was going to be appointed to run for that seat. But then again, you have another person, Aaron Reznor, former council person, the person that I beat. And in a lot of ways, she was really trying to help on that recall, and essentially I beat the recall, so it's almost like I beat her again. But the whole thing for me is people need to wake up and see what's going on, because what happened with Mazzano and DeQuisto, all the people that voted for them, those are the two top vote getters of two major races in Shasta County, and the people elected them very loudly, and both of their stance was leave the seat open. So I'm sorry, Jim.
You know,
go ahead.
If I can add, you know, I can tell you, you know, few people came to see me that were running, and Joshua Johnson was one, and that he was interested in the airport. So I feel from an airport perspective very good about that, you know, and may the good Lord bless him in his decisions.
Absolutely.
But also the only council member that came to see me that was seated was council member Mazzano. And I can tell you, he's genuinely tried to help with things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I like seeing things happen today the way they are, and things are playing out.
Yeah. I mean, what I want, because, you know, we have a very big race, District 3 at the Board of Supervisors, incumbent going for her third term, Mary Rickert, with challenger Corky Harmon, and that's going to be a very, very important race, but the city council as well. And this is no slight to Josh Johnson. Like, I think Josh is a good man. He's a man of faith. Which, you know, faith here nor there when we're talking about, you know, the job as a council person. But it's really, really, really important for people to see through the rhetoric, the deal making, the jockeying, and what's going on. You know, and I'm going to segue because, you know, I'm going to just make this announcement now. But, you know, this is going to be my last show for a while. On Sundays, I'm going to be taking a break, taking a hiatus. Is it forever? Nah, probably not. But a longtime friend of mine is going out on leave for about a month, could be a little longer. And he has a morning radio show. And he's asked me to fill in starting here in about a week, week and a half. And I'm going to lean in and help him. I'm going to help him along with some others covering that morning show. So when the opportunity came up, and it wasn't an opportunity about, you know, it was an opportunity to help him, but really what's been on my heart at an incredible level has been getting more people to understand what's going on and getting people to understand that there are some major, major things, even within just Shasta County in our community and across counties all across the state. I was meeting with the San Bernardino chair, Don Rowe, this past week, and we're in close contact, and we're working on an item. They put forth a resolution to ask the governor to declare a state of emergency as it relates to homeowners insurance. So I reached out to her. I flew down there. We've been talking quite a bit, and as well as her chief of staff, Claire, who's phenomenal. And I won't really say what the plan is going forward, because we're working on some stuff, and it's going to be great for people here in Shasta County. But again, I'm always going to come back to more people need to lean in, and we can all have great intentions, but, you know, you don't get paid for intentions. You get paid for done, or you got to move the ball forward. And just like you, Jim, coming out today, I think it is absolutely imperative that more people say, hey, there's truth, mm-hmm. and there's things that need to come up, because too many people are playing, you know, I don't know what you'd call it.
Well, they're comfortable, and they don't want change. And unfortunately, it does take a lot of effort. And, you know, let's put the shoulder to the wheel. Let's put it. So there's a lot to do, and I think we need to make the airport a priority under these circumstances right now before something else happens.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I know you live in Cottonwood, because I said, man, you should run for city council, and you said...
I'd be there.
Yeah.
I would do it.
So how can people get a hold? Do you have an email address, Jim, you'd like to share if anybody wants to get a hold of you?
Well, yeah, since this is, let me do my work email. It's jim@wadleigh.management, and I'll spell that. WADLEIGH.management. So jim@wadleigh.management. I'm happy to give my perspective because that's what I've been doing. If anybody has any questions, I encourage them to reach out. But more importantly, I encourage them to speak up, say things in the council meetings, request information from the city, email them, whatever it takes to affect this change. And I do think it's important we step up and we take care of our community.
Yeah. What I'm going to do too, for those of you listening, I'm going to either do a Facebook Live this evening, or I'm going to even just post a video about a bunch of the items that we have on the agenda for the Board of Supervisors. Because normally on my show on a Sunday, if it's prior to a board meeting, which many of them are, I'll go over some of the issues so people have some ideas. But, you know, I had a conversation with a gentleman yesterday. He's married, moved here from the Bay Area during COVID. He's a single family income on minimum wage, and he's being booted off of Medi-Cal because he's making too much. And I hear that thinking, okay, here's a gentleman, elderly, minimum wage job. He's the sole earner for him and his wife, and he's being booted off of Medi-Cal because he's making too much. And that, to me, is just insane, because what the direction of people in charge right now, especially in the legislature in California, and what our current president wants is they want people to just rely on the government. And I'm bringing that up, and that kind of just came out of nowhere, because I've got some notes here of some things that are so relevant that matter so much, and people need to understand. Just like this gentleman did, who messaged me, and we had quite a long phone call yesterday, that it matters. It matters to me. It matters, hopefully, to other elected officials. So reach out to them, get involved, but then hold their feet to the fire. Because another thing this person said is they said, hey, you know, as tough as it may be, and the individual, you know, was complimentary at sometimes and very hard in others, just said, during the meetings, that I need to, because you could bite your tongue more. And I said, you know what? You're right. I said, it's really, really hard, because I feel like I'm up there fighting for the same thing the people that sometimes are critical of me want. And it's, we want a safer Shasta County. We want a freer Shasta County. We want our county to flourish. But yet so often people are, they look to tear down before they look to build up. So again, if you're not following me on Facebook, go to Vote Kevin Cry. Follow me on Facebook. Go to Vote Kevin Cry. Sign up for the newsletter. And again, because I will put out little alerts and little things about what's coming. Because, again, I'm going to do something later, because one of the items we have on our agenda this week is R2. I'm going to be bringing forth another ordinance to go to the voters. It's really just doubling down on Prop 99, but it's a eminent domain action. It's basically the government can't take a private person's property and give it to another private property to develop. So it would be like if the city or the county said, hey, we want, you know, Jim, your private property, and we're going to give it to this Brookfield Properties to build a mall. And that's in Prop 99. But one thing we see in the legislature, you know, a lot of times they can make things and they can make rules and they can take things away that just sticks us. So one of the things that I've really, really railed on consistently is making sure people are as free as humanly possible here in Shasta County, and we can protect our greatest assets and investment, which is often our land, our houses, and things of that nature. Then, again, of course, R3 and R4 is all about the airport. And I just got a text, actually, from Carrie Lake. She's on a flight to Milwaukee right now. And I just sent her a message this morning saying, hey, I'm praying for you. Stay safe. And she just said thank you, and praying for us here in Shasta County as well. So that's awesome. And I tell you what, the relationships that I've been able to make in this time of in office, whether I just serve 2.5 more years and just say I'm out, or I look to rerun, or whatever the future has for me, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful, Jim, to you, who has given so much to his community and is still wanting to give, because, you know, here you were 7 months ago out at the airport, and you're still our authority of how to manage an airport, how to run an airport, and how to make our airport great. So do you have any last parting shots? We have 20 seconds.
No, I just want to say, you know, we should be praying for our nation right now. We should be praying for our local representatives, and I pray that God blesses them and helps them make the sound decisions. You know, God bless the USA and God bless President Trump. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, you know, Jim, that is exactly the way to say it too. God bless our country and keep everybody safe no matter which side of the aisle you are on. Thank you for tuning in, Shasta County. I love you. And again, go to Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook or VoteKevinCry.com, and I'll be posting later today. Have a great rest of your week.
Well, I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for both this pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away. Drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not
the news
be
from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.